magnet on my refrigerator that reads, "It is a blessing we were born. It matters what we do with our lives. What each of us knows about God is a piece of the truth. We don't have to do it alone." Unitarian Universalism. I think this is a good summary of what it means to be a Unitarian Universalist. We must cherish our own inherent worth and dignity and remember that it is, indeed, a blessing we were born. We must remember that how we act, what we do to and for others, matters. Whether our actions are kind or unkind, loving or unloving, peaceful or not, they matter, and we are responsible for them. And because we are in a community of faith, we definitely do not have to do it alone. We support one another. We help each other learn. We help each other grow. We share our journeys. But what each of us knows about God as a piece of the truth is the basis for my own UU faith. Maybe it resonates with you as well. It reminds me of the concept of one light, many windows, which is the idea that there is one truth, but many windows through which to view it. What part of the light or God each of us sees is limited, yet it is a piece of the truth. My view shows me some light, but not all of it. And it is the same light you see from your own view. The shadows are different. The way the light plays off the glass is different. But the source remains the same. While it is really amazing that we appreciate and respect each other's views of the truth, what I find even more incredible is that we appreciate, respect, and even encourage one another when it becomes time to change, to move to a new window and look at truth from a new perspective. As we journey through life, there are many things that give us opportunities to move in such ways that lead us to look at the light differently. And each time we allow ourselves to be open to new ways of being, the communities we live in are also changed. Sometimes our new view is due to gathering more knowledge, a book, a movie, meditating, maybe learning about someone else's journey. And any life transition can help us move to a new window, the birth of a child, the death of a loved one, marriage, divorce, a new job, the loss of a job. In the book, Let Your Life Speak, Parker Palmer writes about some of the painfully difficult transitions in life from another perspective. He says, "Each time a door closes, the rest of the world opens up. All we need to do is stop pounding on the door that just closed, turn around, which puts the door behind us, and welcome the largeness of life that now lies open to our souls. The door that closed kept us from entering a room, but what now lies before us is the rest of reality." Sometimes we don't know. We can't identify what's changing, what's causing that ever so subtle shift within us. Sometimes, maybe often, we don't know ourselves as well as we would like to think we do. In her book, Left Neglected, Lisa Genova develops a character who was in a car accident and now suffers from a condition known as left neglect. Essentially, she is unaware of anything on her left, the left side of her body, as well as anything located to her left. She has difficulties with walking, reading, working, caring for her children. She works hard to manage these challenges so that she can regain some semblance of her life before the accident. She explains part of her struggle like this: "The first step in my recovery is to become aware of my unawareness, to constantly and repeatedly remind myself that my brain thinks it's paying attention to all of everything, but in fact, it's only paying attention to the right half of everything and nothing on the left." How many of us are unaware of important aspects of ourselves? How many times do we think we're paying attention to everything, only to realize later that there was more just beyond our view? Maybe we don't realize the impact of childhood experiences on our adult lives. Maybe we don't acknowledge our sexual or gender identities. Maybe we aren't aware of how our friends impact our view of the world. Maybe we are blind to those things in our character that we don't like. Sometimes it's easier to remain unaware because we are familiar with that view. But at some point, being unaware becomes painful. We begin to catch glimpses of the fact that we are not living up to our full potential. We are not living our own truth. Moving to a new window, to a new view of ourselves and the truth, is difficult, and it takes courage. The beauty of finding that courage and taking these difficult journeys is that they give us opportunities to grow, to recreate ourselves, to change the way we see the world. We can move to a different window and see the beauty of the light from a new perspective. Frederick Buckner writes, "Some journeys are direct and some are circuitous. Some are heroic, some are fearful and muddled. But every journey, honestly undertaken, stands a chance of taking us toward the place where our deep gladness meets the world's deep need." At Camp Fest this year, I began to think yet again about our journey as a congregation during the past several years. I think our recent journey together has been all that Buckner describes, direct and circuitous, heroic and fearful, and sometimes muddled. And our journey has often led us to a place where our deep gladness meets the world's deep need. In a way, it seems like yesterday, and in other ways, it seems like a lifetime ago. But in the spring of 2006, I finally decided to come out as bisexual here at church. I had been out in other areas of my life for 15 years at that point. But up until then, I was not sure it was safe here. Actually, even when I decided to come out, I still wasn't sure it was safe here. I was at a board meeting, and the talk around the table at the end of the meeting was about those people, gay people, as if no one in our congregation could possibly be gay. Finally, I had to say something. I was afraid, of losing my church home, afraid of what they would think, but I did it anyway. There was silence, and then Jean Eaton, an elderly member at that time who has passed on since then, he said, "You know, we still love you, don't you?" So there was one big vote of confidence. Becky Green, our office administrator, who isn't even a member of our church, told me that she was glad I spoke up because it was about time someone did. No one else said anything to me. I still wasn't quite sure where I stood, but I wasn't quite as afraid anymore. Then, from the fall of 2006 through the spring of 2007, Kleber and I led a small but enthusiastic group of people through what's called the Welcoming Congregation Program. This is a program available through the Unitarian Universalist Association, which helps congregations become more welcoming to people who are not heterosexual. We learned more about LGBTQI issues, how to be allies, how to move from tolerance and acceptance of gay people to appreciation and nurturance. We shared what we learned with the congregation through poster presentations and words from the pulpit. The next step was for the congregation to vote at the annual meeting in May of 2007 on whether or not we wanted to become an official welcoming congregation. This would mean we would publicly state that as a community of faith, we support, include, welcome, encourage, and love people of all sexual orientations and gender identities. At that annual meeting, I was still scared. We had done good work. There was more support for gay people and more discussion of gay issues than ever in our congregation. But I still didn't know how the vote would go. This was personal. I needed the support of this congregation. I needed the love of these people. My fears began to dissolve with the unanimous vote in favor of becoming a welcoming congregation. The work had just begun. Linda Van Zandt led the charge to have us march in the St. Louis Pride Parade that year and every year since. Banners were made and hung on our banister outside saying such things as, "Laws don't make families, love makes families, and your family is welcome here." A supportive article was written by a reporter with the Alton Telegraph, and it appeared with a picture of our kids standing behind one of those banners. There was a lot of response online to that article, and though much of it came from people who I think were afraid and confused, some of it was encouraging. We as a congregation had moved to a new window and saw the light, the truth, from a different angle. We had grown, we had recreated ourselves, we became a beacon of love and support for people who had been disenfranchised, been turned away, been beaten down spiritually by other faith communities. For a long time, this church had only looked at the light from one small window. Now, eyes were opened and hearts were filled with the truth and the light that comes from being willing to stretch outside of the proverbial comfort zone and into a new way of being. We had been transformed. The word of welcome spread, and the people started coming. Not just gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people, but also others who heard the message that all are welcome here. Sharing the journey is empowering. Personally, as I gained more knowledge about myself, I found one door closing and the rest of the world opening up when I came to realize that I wasn't bisexual, I was in fact a lesbian. And as I went through that transition of identity, this congregation supported me as it has supported so many others on their journeys. The transformation of this church could not have happened unless the individuals in the congregation were personally willing first to become aware of something that had been just beyond their view, then to look at their own truth with fresh eyes. Whether their individual movement was a slight shift or a more challenging climb, everyone had to reconsider how they now fit into their faith community. As a congregation, we've done this time and time again. This way of being in the world, this willingness to look at things anew and take action based on that new view, has become part of our congregational culture. Not every church is willing to feed those who are hungry, as well as commune with them and listen to them, but we are. Not every congregation is willing to invite people returning from prison into their church, but we are. I'm not saying that we're perfect by any means, and I certainly don't want us to rest on our laurels. We have room for improvement, and growth opportunities abound. But we continue to look at truth in new ways and to live through that truth into the light. Where we will go next, I don't know. But I am confident that we will work together so that our journey will keep leading us to a place where our deep gladness meets the world's deep need. Because I know the individuals in this community are willing to walk together in faith into a world that needs our loving action. It helps to know that others are traveling their own paths and changing their own views, even though we are all on different journeys. Whatever difficulties you encounter along the way, remember that you have this community of people who are willing to walk with you. And remember that the journey is worth it. Because when you look for truth, from whatever perspective you have, the light of that truth begins to shine in you and through you. Remember, it is a blessing you were born. It matters what you do with your life. What you know about God is a piece of the truth, and you don't have to do it alone. Amen. Our next hymn is number 118 in our gray hymnal.